Today's podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to episode number 2 of Jeff Learns Wrestling. I am your professor slash co-host, JT, and with me is my best bud, the man who's taking the podcast world by storm, and that is Jeffrey Machado. Jeffrey, how are you?
I'm good. I am the student.
You are the student. In many ways, you're the student. But yeah, it's great to be back. Our first episode went really well. I had a blast. The feedback was fantastic, so we thank everyone who listened and shared their thoughts. And, Jeff, what I thought we'd do is just really quick for any new listeners, just kind of lay out the goal or concept of the show, and then talk about the direction we've decided to take it. So, you had never watched wrestling, and it became really apparent to me how little you knew in the last episode that actually shook me. And I was like, I felt like it was harder for me than for you. Cause all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, I'm like just dropping things that I take for granted every day as a wrestling fan and realize you had like no clue. Like,
yes. I have so much to learn and you were assuming that I had even less to learn than I do. Right. So it's kind of good to start from the very base.
Yeah, I mean, I assumed that, like, you had some foundation, and you had, like, zero foundation. Like,
well, there was any foundation that I had, I had forgotten, so.
Right, yeah, I mean, it was, like, zero. So, anyway, so the last episode, if you have heard it, you know, if you haven't, go back and listen. We really set the base and set the foundation, and what we did was we had reviewed four matches from late 88 into early 89. We did the four, you know, key Mega Powers matches. And as we talked it through, and I realized just how little Jeff knew and what a big soap opera fan he was, I thought the best way to take this show was chronological. Like, our first idea was to jump around and just pick random stuff and see what you thought. But the more I thought about it and, you know, consulted with some people that had listened, I thought going back a little bit and just working in order was the best way to take it. What did you think of that decision?
I'm actually very excited about it, and I hope all the fans out there feel the same way, because maybe, you know, you want to hear more about the newer stuff, and you kind of, maybe the 80s stuff isn't as interesting to you, but I feel like I'm 8 years old right now, so it's like I get to watch it all from the very beginning, like it's all live. So hopefully the chronological thing works out, because I find it pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's better. I think less stuff will get spoiled that way. You know, we'll get to kind of get your real-time reaction. And the thing, too, is what we're going to do is we're going to mix in just more than just WWF. So, like, this episode, we have some NWA matches. We'll mix in some other random stuff as we go. And then every now and then we'll dip back and do, like, specials. Like, we'll do, like, stuff on different territories or a spotlight on certain wrestlers as we get moving. So
NWA, WCW, same thing.
Yes and no. So NWA...
Oh, God.
NWA... was the governing board of a like syndicate of wrestling territories.
I have no idea what you're saying. I always thought it was WWF, WCW.
It was.
Those are the two things.
It was. So WCW was, so picture it like this. So the NWA is like a committee of people that rule over the wrestling world. And then you
are
can,
these people like anybody I would know? Are they like the Vince McMahons of the world, or are they just
right?
Like,
yeah, yeah. They're promoters. So they're the governing board. So they had one champion, the NWA World Champion. And they would pick who the champion would be out of all these different territories. So it's like, think of it like baseball. I mean, so you have the commissioner, right? He oversees the sport of baseball. And you have to have your team, you know, everyone owns their own team.
But in baseball, there's only one champion. There's like a million
champions.
No,
there's only one NWA champion that's recognized as the world champion. Okay? Anyway, the NWA... WCW is part of the NWA. WCW is Jim Crockett promotion territory.
What does NWA stand for?
The National Wrestling Alliance. So it's an alliance of wrestling territories. So think of like all throughout
Which
the country.
Is different from a federation.
No, not really. It's just this is the terms. So think of it this
way. All right, I'll get that stuff.
All right. So anyway, WCW came.
Too much history. Too
WCW was born out of the NWA pretty much, and it was its most successful territory in the end. A lot of other territories were crushed along the way. So every region had its own little promotion.
And so the WCW is part of NWA.
Right.
Okay, that makes sense.
But then the NWA faded pretty much. It still actually exists today in name, but it lost like all its power. And WCW just said, fuck it, we're going to do our own thing, and like left the NWA.
Okay, so who does the NWA have now?
It's like minor, local, independent territory stuff, and it's very, very weak. It's a name only. It's like video libraries and whatnot. So it's very, very weak.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm not going to ask too many questions about
the future, because
I've already gotten spoiled on a couple things.
Well, that won't spoil anything. But anyway, that's the difference.
Homophobe and all that stuff.
So just think of NWA for now. When we get to 1989, it becomes WCW, or late 88. And that's when, like, the Jim Crockett territory of the NWA becomes WCW.
Gotcha.
Okay. You're good?
I'm good.
All right, so we watched some NWA matches tonight that we're going to talk about in a moment.
Which I didn't realize I was watching until just now.
Really? You thought those were WWF?
I just thought it was WCW. There's like Ric
Flair.
Okay,
well, it basically
is. I know Ric Flair is WCW. That's right. What I knew. And this NWA thing, I saw it on the ring, but we'll get to that later.
Okay. All right, but it basically was WCW because it's part of the territory that became WCW. Okay. Jim Crockett.
All right, that makes sense.
All right, so the four matches we watched last time, what we're going to do is we have those ranked, and then as we keep going, Jeff is going to go back and reassess his grades from the last time. So the last four he watched were Savage DiBiase at WrestleMania 4, Mega Powers Mega Bucks at SummerSlam 88, Mega Powers Twin Towers at the main event, Hogan Savage at 5. So we'll see how the matches tonight, Jeff, affect your thoughts on those.
I like how you said at 5. Is that like wrestling nomenclature? When you just say a number, that means WrestleMania.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Nothing else ever really went by number. Everything else was like year.
Well, that's like the head honcho.
Right. WrestleMania. You know, you don't say WrestleMania 1987. You say WrestleMania 3.
You're talking wrestling. You say 5. Everyone knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, like 87% of the people. All right. So here we go. So we're going to go back and start from the top. So the first match, Jeff, I gave you. And the reason I picked this one, I probably normally would not have chosen this match. And the reason I did was because, actually, no, I would have picked this one. It's the second match I wouldn't pick, so we'll get to that second. We had to start at one place. So, you know, WWF proper began, like, in the 60s or whatever. It was the WWWF.
Oh, my God, the 60s.
Vince McMahon Sr.
Why are we start? Oh, no, I remember that. Why are we starting so late?
Because
isn't there, like, YouTube stuff from the 60s?
Yeah, we can. That'll be, like, our microscope when we go back and like, look back at stuff. We can delve back into stuff. Okay, so
we'll do a microscope episode.
Yeah, so the reason I picked 84 is because that's when Hulk Hogan wins the World Championship and becomes, this is, like, where the national expansion kicks off for the WWF. This is when it becomes the WWF, like, that we know today. So I thought that was a good spot to start.
Kind of like Namath in Super Bowl III.
Right. So the shit happened before then, but it's, you know, it's good. Like, there's a lot of good stuff, but this is, and like, because, like, we didn't even get to, like, Bruno Sammartino. Like, there's a lot of great stuff, but 84 is, like, the era that we're going to start in, because it's kind of the modern times. That's, we'll look at it like that. It's kind of the modern times. So the match we started with was Hulk Hogan versus the Iron Sheik from MSG, January 23rd, 1984, for the WWF title on the WWE Network. We watched that. So why don't you, I'm going to lay back for a second. I want you to talk about that match. Give me your thoughts. You know, and then whatever questions you don't answer of our list here, we can go through.
All right. So one thing that I do remember from my childhood is the Iron Sheik. And I guess he was like the most famous heel that I remember because, you know, everyone hated him because he was from the Middle East. First of all, is he really from the Middle East?
Yeah.
Is it like Iran?
Yeah.
Was his original, was Iron like a play on Iran, or is he Iron because he's like Rocky, like he's really hard to knock down?
I don't know. He was like I think he was the Great Hussein was his original name. And he actually really was on the Olympic team. Hussein Khosrow Vaziri.
So he has like a real background in wrestling.
Yeah.
Like Roman Greco.
Legit Olympic wrestling. Yeah. So he was born in Tehran, Iran, like he says.
Okay, so he was the champion. Hogan was the challenger. Who did he win the championship from?
Sheik?
Yeah.
He ended Bob Backlund's like 6-year reign as champion.
Oh, right. Yeah, we talked about Backlund.
Yeah, so he was champ for a while, and then Sheik won, and it was a lot of controversy from Backlund's end because Backlund was in the camel clutch, and he didn't give up, but his manager threw the towel in, and the referee stopped the match and gave the title to the Iron Sheik.
Oh, that's a tale as old as time in boxing.
There you go.
The boxer always gets upset when they throw in the white towel.
Unless you're Apollo Creed and then you get killed because of it.
True, but at what cost?
So, the Cold War. So Sheik... So Sheik is the champion here. He was supposed to fight Bob Backlund. Backlund's injured from the camel clutch, and Hulk Hogan was like the surprise opponent for him.
Why was he a surprise opponent? Had he not, like, been in the national foreground so much since then?
So he was in the Dodoyev in, like, 1980 or so, and he was actually a heel, which is a...
a bad guy.
Yeah, so he was a heel. He
left. I think it's a really funny term for the bad guy, because you never... if someone's, like, a really bad guy where they're going to resort to assault or, you know, beating a woman on the side of a ring, you're not a heel, you're kind of, like... a criminal.
Right.
Or there should be like a cooler word. Like, no, whatever. Man, what a heel. A heel is like somebody who takes the, who cuts in front of the deli line or something. You know?
Or like the Grinch, according to the song.
He is a heel, yes.
Right, yes. So Hogan was got offered the role of Thunder Lips in Rocky III. And
oh my God, I totally forgot about that.
Right. So, but Vince McMahon Sr. did not want him to take on the role. So he left the Dodoyev and went to the AWA, which is a third promotion that was run by Vern Gagne.
He was like, Thunderlips is too good to pass up.
Basically. And he's like, fuck you, I'm leaving.
This is Rocky we're talking about here.
Right. It's a big deal. So he left, went to the AWA, becomes Thunderlips, and takes off as a mainstream star. The AWA kind of fucked around, and he was like their top guy, but they kept balking at making him the champion. And eventually he got kind of antsy and they kept messing with the, you know, with things and not putting the title on him. And then Vince McMahon Jr. came calling again and was like, come back and be a star here where you should be nationally.
So he was the Hulk Hogan facilitator. He's like, this guy's going to be the man.
Right. And I would say in the AWA, they saw it too, but they just never like crowned him for whatever reason. But that's where, like, Hulkamania started and all that stuff. Like, he was already...
trying to milk the cow too much.
Yeah, they just kept pushing it out. So then Vince brings him in late 83, and he wasn't around for very long again before he has this match here.
Okay, so we got the Sheik and Hulk Hogan. So Hogan's never been the champion.
Right.
Has he ever fought Iron Sheik before?
I mean, not, like, in the Dodoyev for the... no.
All right, well, so here's a couple takeaways I got from this match. One, I feel like the Iron Sheik is not a very good wrestler. Is that safe to say, or is he, like, good? Because I felt like they were just dancing around, doing, like, pretty boring stuff.
He's good. Like, I could show you some matches where he's, like, really good. Like, he has a very sound technical style.
Okay.
A lot of, like, very strong, like, a lot of some good power moves. This match is a tough one because it was meant to always be, like, just him kind of getting steamrolled.
Because they wanted to make set up to be dominated,
right? Because they wanted Hogan to have like a dominant win and become the man,
right?
So it wasn't really meant for like Sheik to work him over too much or like show off his prowess.
All right, that makes sense. I also feel like he wasn't very good with the verbal stuff.
He's right. It's the accent.
Well, I felt like his English was pretty good, but he was kind of stuttering around a little bit. Maybe he was like, was he just upset that he was going to lose?
Yeah, I just think that's his, like, style. Like, if you watch him throughout his career, like, even today, he's just, like, all over the place. He's just kind of... that was kind of his appeal, because he was just kind of like a nut that rambled on and, like, just said random shit and at the end. You know?
Yeah, he did a lot of spitting.
Yeah, he did spit.
Which is a great way to make a crowd hate you.
Tehran, number one, America. You know, like that. So...
so, yeah, you gave me a lot of matches to watch.
Yeah, I did.
And I watched this one a long time ago, so I don't remember everything about it, but I do remember the camel clutch. First of all, is this like, if you were going to get the camel clutch in real life, do you think it would really be painful? To me, it doesn't look that like sinister of a finishing move.
I guess it depends on how much leverage you can get on the guy's back, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you really pull back on the neck, he could probably hurt someone.
Yes, but this match culminates... right. With the guy who's in the clutch literally just standing up.
Right.
So it can't be that bad.
No, but don't forget, it is Hulk Hogan. He has superhuman power. So he's able to power out of the move where a lot of guys couldn't, where they get trapped and they don't have his ability. And then, too, if you look at it from like a different perspective, is that match isn't that long, right?
It was pretty quick, yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of times a move like that is more successful when you've really worn a guy down. Hogan still had a lot of energy because he didn't really beat him up too much. So you can look at it that way, too. Like, he might have gone for that hold too soon.
So he clutched too quick.
Yeah.
It was a
premature clutch.
Premature clutch. Yes.
He clutched too soon, and it backfired on him. It exploded on him.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was good to see. Where was this event? It wasn't WrestleMania, right?
No. So WrestleMania hadn't happened yet, the first one. That was a year later. So at the time... I think we had mentioned last week or last episode that like house shows were the big draw. Like you just wanted people to get there. Like TV was used to promote the local arena shows. So this was just a Madison Square Garden was their big home. So this was just like a big monthly Madison Square Garden card. And those shows were televised locally on the Madison Square Garden network in New York metro area.
How do you feel about MSG as a crowd setup?
I mean, yeah, it's pretty legendary. I thought they're pretty good. And if you get the right match, like Scott and I have been watching a lot of them for our show. If you get the right match, like the crowds can be really like insane and fired up. And at that time, what they would do is they'd, are you talking about like the lighting? Like they would dim the lights and stuff. And
yeah,
that was kind of just there.
Although I would say the crowd was kind of cool because, but then I also felt a little guilty because I thought maybe they were just being racist.
No,
they were booing so much. Like, what do you hate about this guy other than the fact that he's wearing one of those head cover things?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely part of it. It's 1984. Like, that was, Iran was, it was not a good thing with Iran.
Actually,
but
a lot of this journey that you took me on for this episode involves things of that nature, and I'm wondering how much that continues into the next level.
It exists for a while. Like jingoism and wrestling goes like hand in hand. Like I mean, in like even now they're kind of doing it. They do it differently, where like it's not as outward. But there's a
Is
guy
there, like an ISIS character. Wait, surprise!
No,
oh, wait.
There's not an ISIS character.
Okay,
we'll wait. But there was. They did do like a terrorist guy that wasn't really a terrorist. It was weird. But anyway, so the jingoism continues, but it's hottest in the 70s and 80s. I mean, when they could really get people to buy in. So at this time, like you had a lot of Russian guys who were like big in the 80s. Like there's like contingencies all over the place for Russians.
Yeah, I feel terrible because that's one of my few memories. I remember the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov and just hating them for no reason.
Yeah. Well, they hated you. That's why. They hated everything your country stood for, Jeff. They didn't like you or America.
But if they could just get to know me, you know, just
they
a
don't
nice
want to know
little
you.
4-year-old American kid.
They just want to kill
we
you.
We could have got along.
And take your titles. But I think part of the reason they hated the Sheik, too, is because what he did to Backlund. Like, they felt like he, you know, Backlund was kind of the guy, and Sheik cheated. Well, he didn't really cheat, but it was
I
kind of a
cheat. I can't
wait
for our Backlund episode. I couldn't even pick that guy out of a lineup. I missed all that stuff.
Yeah, there's a... We'll dive backwards into Backlund.
We're just starting at the Mega Powers. And let me just say that when I started watching these matches, I was really sad because you just kind of left me hanging the last episode. Like, Randy Savage is such a great dude, and all of a sudden he's a heel? Like, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, we'll go back.
I'm just waiting for him to be a good guy again.
Right, we'll get there. It's not too long before that, so we'll get there. And then we'll pick up where we left off. So, but I think we had to go backwards. I think this was the way to go. All right, so Hogan versus Sheik. What did you think of when Hogan won? Like, the reaction? Like, did he feel like a superstar to you right there? I mean, obviously you know he's Hulk Hogan, so you know he's a star, but...
Yeah, it's tough watching these Hogan matches because, like, he really is great. Right. Like, I feel like a Hogan honk.
You should be Hogan honk. He was awesome at that point.
Yeah, I mean, everything he does is awesome. I believe in the whole hulking up stuff. He seems superhuman. He has an amazing body. Like, do you think he went tanning at, like, a tanning booth? Or he used, like, spray tan? Or
well, I don't
he
think it was
a naturally
spray tan.
Tanning guy?
It was natural, I think.
Like, if he took his briefs off, would his like midsection be pale, or does he go like full body tanning?
Oh, he definitely goes full body tanning. That's my guess. Just full body.
I mean, if you're gonna be a guy like have that much swag,
right? You have to.
You gotta go all the
he
way.
He also was. I mean, he lived in Venice Beach or lived in Florida. You know, Venice Beach was his gimmick, so I think he was probably on the beach a lot tanning. You know, I think a lot of these guys during the day, like in the summer, depending on where they were, they go to the beach and just hang and bang, and then go.
Yeah, he's got it all going on. He's got the hair. Like, there's a lot of blonde hair going on. We'll get to that later, but. Like, who has hair like that? You don't see hair like that anymore.
So if you were like Vince McMahon, you saw that guy, you would feel like the dollar signs that he probably saw, right? Looking at him at that point?
Yes, I would immediately see that. And then once I had a conversation with him and he was like, oh, brother, 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 brother. I'm like, this guy is crazy. Right? I'm going to put him on TV as much as possible.
Yes.
Like, there's literally nobody I feel that Hogan could be on screen with and not just steal the camera.
Right.
It could be like Mother Teresa or the president. And he would just be like, oh my God, Mother Teresa, yeah.
And he had the charisma. And the interesting thing is they actually didn't have him on TV a lot. And do you know why? From our conversations, can you piece together why he was not on TV?
From our conversations. I feel like you're setting me up to say something dumb.
No, what was the strategy of wrestling at that time? What did they want people to do?
They wanted people...
To go
to live shows.
Yes. So
okay.
Hulk Hogan, if you wanted to see this great man wrestle, you got to come out to your local arena. We're not going to show them to you on TV. He would have interviews on TV, and every now and then they would have a match just to whet your appetite. But if you wanted to see Hogan defend the title, you had to go out and buy a ticket and see him. So that was a big part of the draw, was that this guy you don't get to see a lot unless he comes by your town, and then you're going to go check him out. Like Gravedigger.
You can't get a sense of how powerful the big boot is on TV. Are you crazy?
You need to be there, babe. All right, so we have a lot of questions and categories that we talk about. I think most are just Hogan, right, probably?
Yeah, all these questions, man. It's like I can't keep track of all of them. I'm trying to, like, especially, like, the best move, best character. Character versus wrestler? I mean, if you say best character, if, you know, if Jesse Ventura is anywhere near the place, that's what I'm going to say.
Right.
Or Miss Elizabeth.
Yeah, and that's fine. That stands out. So the best character could be anyone involved in the thing. So, I mean, Hogan obviously came off to you as the better wrestler.
Yeah, this was a Hogan coming out party, pretty much.
Would you watch this one again?
Yeah.
Okay. And what would you give this grade?
I think this is a solid 3.
Okay. So that would be your worst graded match. Are you comfortable with it being behind the ones we've talked about before?
Well, you keep wanting me to reassess my grading.
You don't have to.
As a critic, I feel like you got to go with what you say, you know?
Okay.
If you can't defend your own grades, then what are you? You're just kind of hack.
So the order we have right now, your best match, you said, was Mega Powers versus Mega Bucks. That's your ace match right now. And then Mega Powers Twin Towers was your second one. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then Savage versus DiBiase at WrestleMania 4 when Savage won the title is next.
Yes.
And then Hogan Savage at WrestleMania 5, you were kind of lukewarm.
Yeah, it was a bit disappointing after watching those earlier ones.
Okay, and then Hogan Sheik would check in next. Okay.
Although it could just be my emotional letdown after them breaking up. It's kind of like when you're friends with like a couple and they break up and you really loved one of the guys and he's like, I don't really like you so much anymore because,
right,
you know, I can't hang out with your ex-girlfriend anymore.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know?
Anyway. And that might have been what they were going for, honestly.
Well, they succeeded, my friend.
All right, so let's take a look here at our next match. And this is the one that normally I probably wouldn't have included. And I only included it because you seemed so up on Andre the Giant on our last show. And I wanted to just have a glimpse of, like, a little older Andre. There's stuff from before this that's better, too. But this was, like, the most easily accessible to pull quickly for you. And that's Andre the Giant versus Kamala, Maple Leaf Gardens. That's in Toronto. October 21st, 1984. Give me your thoughts on the Giant and the Ugandan Giant, Kamala.
I was so excited to watch this match, and then when I watched it, I'm like, Justin is such an asshole. Because I was like, I love Andre the Giant, I can't wait to see more Andre the Giant, and this was like the worst, like, dumbest match I've ever seen in my entire life.
Why was it dumb?
Alright, first of all, what is up with Kamala? He's wearing like some stupid headdress thing, like, is he actually African?
No, well, I mean, his name's Jim Harris. So.
Jim Harris,
right.
The African whatever he was.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's so stupid. And it's a quote-unquote steel cage match, which is a chain link fence. Is this how every steel cage match is? It's just a chain link fence? Kids play in this thing. That's not dangerous.
So there's a few different types of cages. And by the way, Kamala was born in Mississippi. So there was a few different kinds of cages. Like, so
the Mississippi African God. That is terrible.
So back then, listen, one thing I'm going to tell you as we watch the 80s, you have to embrace the fact that pro wrestling is not, you know, culturally appropriate. It is not racially sensitive. It is not, you know, it's very, you know.
Well, it can be culturally inappropriate and insensitive in an entertaining way.
Right.
This just made me go, oh, come on.
I know, but I'm just letting you know now, because it seems to keep popping up with a lot of these things that it's very, I mean, it is like super lowest common denominator. Like, oh, look at this big black guy. We're going to say he's from the jungle and he can't talk and doesn't know how to pin people and he has all paint all over him. Like, I mean, that is like, this guy's from Africa. Think of like Jim was booked like behind all these characters. Right?
Yeah, totally.
His mindset. So, steel cages. So in the old days, it was pretty much just fence. WWF in 1986 would introduce the bars, like the bar cage that you may remember vaguely. So it's more of just like big blue steel bars. So
I mean, if you're going to put guys in a cage, they might as well have the risk of running into a piece of steel and getting hurt.
So the bars are like harder hitting. But the funny thing is, a lot of wrestling, like old school wrestling fans, prefer the steel fence. because they feel like it looked more realistic because you could like grate the guy across it and like run him into it that way, you know, versus the fencing, the cage you saw was kind of flimsy, the one they broke out for that match. There are better looking ones. We may have one later. I don't know if you like the one after that we'll talk about, but
well, what struck me is I was like, all right, fine, it's, you know, it's a fence, but they had to get out of the cage. That was the goal of the match.
Right.
And there was no barbed wire or anything. And they kept talking. They kept talking. They mentioned it at least 5-6 times. Who was doing the commentary? Was this Monsoon and
No, this was Billy Red Lions and Jack Reynolds, who was
Yeah, he was terrible. He kept mentioning about how they can't climb over the top because the steel cage is pointing out, like, it was just the top of a chain link fence. Like, any 12-year-old boy could climb over that with no problem.
Right.
Like, don't tell me that it's too dangerous to climb over it.
So the whole concept of a cage match, in theory, when it was created, was not to keep the guys in. It was more to keep other people out. So, like, a lot of times there's a feud where...
Like the managers?
Yeah, managers or, like, people interfering. Or they just wanted them confined where one guy couldn't run away easily. So that was the idea. And WWF, for whatever reason, always had the escape gimmick. NWA / WCW always was like a pinfall. Like, you had the match had to end in the cage. You couldn't just escape it. So you couldn't win unless you pin the guy inside the cage. The WWF introduced the escape rules where, you know, because they wanted to add a different dynamic. And once we get to the bars, you'll see there's no real threat to escape either. It makes the climbing easier. I think that was part of it, too. Climbing that fence probably wasn't super easy, but then they have the door as well to escape. But it wasn't really meant to make it hard for them to get out. You know, them trying to escape is thwarted by the opponent. If you can render your opponent useless enough, you can just escape.
Well, the escape doesn't make any sense. All right.
Yeah.
I'm insulting Kamala.
You can insult Kamala.
Because we're doing this afterwards.
Right.
During the match, if it had been like a great match,
yeah,
then maybe, you know, maybe he has like some cool African mojo I could have gotten into. But as soon as you get in there, he kept trying to get out.
Yeah.
Why is he even fighting the guy? What is the story behind him fighting Andre the Giant? He got in, he would like slap him a couple times, and then immediately run for the door and try to get out.
Yeah.
What's the point of that?
Well, I think the point was that he had wronged Andre, and Andre just wanted him in the cage, and he was just trying to win and get out of Dodge, whereas Andre was trying to hurt him. So he's just trying to – he's a heel. So heels by nature are generally cowardly. I mean, you get some that are like monster heels. And Kamala usually is, but I think the whole idea was here that he was, like, afraid, in theory, of Andre. He didn't want Andre to destroy him, because Andre's Andre. So he was just trying to get the hell out of Dodge.
All right, so he figured that he could just go into the match and then try to get out the door and win.
Right. And just get out of there without getting the shit kicked out of him.
All right. And here, all right, so here's the thing. He keeps trying to get out.
Yeah.
The referee keeps keeping the door closed. And then, eventually, at the end of the match, Andre goes to get out, and he opens the door.
Yeah, I don't know why the referee was closing the door. That generally, they're there just to open the door so the guy can escape. So I would say this is a stupid referee that wasn't really up on what he was supposed to do. The thing, too, in those days, they would use... Everything was still very localized. So before WWF really became like its own national entity, they still would use like local referees, local ring announcers, local crews.
What does the origin of the referee have to do with anything? Like, isn't everything already scripted?
Yeah, but they might just not be like, if you work for the company versus like a freelancer, you'll know better, like, all right, here's what we do in these matches. Whereas these referees may just have been refereeing matches for all different territories for however many years, and he's just not maybe as intrinsic into the company's fabric, if that makes sense.
That makes sense.
Right? I mean, so it's like you work for the post office. You have your roots and your routines, right? So if a guy from, like, another post office came, and you were like, hey, this is how we do things here, he'd probably be like, okay. And then he might just do shit his own way, right?
Hey, there's only one way. There's only one postal way.
In theory, you know what I'm saying.
Well, maybe. Who was the manager for Kamala? Who kept trying to...
So it actually wasn't his manager. It was his handler, Friday. Later on would be Kim Chi would
the
be his handler.
The fuck is a handler?
So the handler is basically like he found him in the jungle. And he just is like his keeper. Like if you picture like... I just picture like Kamala, like they keep him in a cage or something. This guy's like the... You know, the guy that went out into the jungle to find him and brought him here to terrorize people, and he keeps him.
Yeah, I thought it was odd that he was, like, whipping him.
Yeah, it's not right. A lot of this is very wrong. So, I mean, that's the idea of Kamala. This guy, like, went to the jungles of Africa, found this Neanderthal monster and like brought him to America to wrestle and terrorize. I mean, this is what wrestling is.
I mean, it was kind of a, like I said, I wanted to see, and I still want to see great Andre the Giant matches. This was kind of just a slam dunk, like, oh, here's Andre fighting some cowardly fake African guy who's trying to get out of the gate.
Well, what did you, I really wanted you to see, because I wanted, my whole point to show you that match was to show you Andre's more mobile.
Yeah, he was pretty impressive. He was jumping around.
What did you think of when he came off the cage at the end?
It was, did he jump, like, from the top
of the cage?
Outside?
No, he jumped onto Kamala. He sat on Kamala.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty nasty.
Did you expect him to do that, like, when he started to climb?
No, I figured that he would start climbing, and it would just be one of those turns where Kamala would grab him, and he'd just fall backwards or something. It was impressive.
Any other notes on this match? It's pretty inconsequential long term. It was just a curiosity for me to throw it out there for you.
What year was this again?
This is October of 84.
Because he's not wearing his black singlet.
He doesn't wear that.
He doesn't look the same.
Right. He doesn't wear that for a little bit.
Okay.
I'm trying now that I know.
And they were calling him Andre the French Giant.
Yeah, that might have been those idiots just going rogue.
Like, who says that?
Yeah, it was stupid. Samuel's the only French giant that we know. But the yeah, this one's pretty inconsequential, but I'm really trying to be careful on how, like, last week I might have said, well, Andre gets the black singlet when, but now I want to hold off, because I don't want to spoil for you when he gets it.
Yeah, you know, I'm a student. I gotta learn these important dates.
We'll learn them. So what's your grade on this match? Because I think we should get to the more important stuff.
One star.
One star, okay. Worst match.
Do we even have to give one star? Can I give, like, negative stars?
So the system is, if you give it, like, zero, it's called a dud. And then you can give negative if you want. I wouldn't give this a negative. There's a lot of worse stuff to come.
Yeah, one star is fair.
Okay. I mean, I think just for Andre jumping off the cage.
It was entertaining. It was more frustrating to watch. Yeah. But, I mean.
It has some blood in there for you, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit of blood. Yeah. There's so much blood coming up. I have so many comments on blood.
I'm curious on your thoughts on blood. I am. All right. Hulk Hogan versus Roddy Piper was our next match. The war to settle the score. This is from February of 85. Did you pick up on any of the background of that show? Like, what it was?
No. I know that there's a score, but I don't know what it is.
Okay. So, the WWF at this time was really working toward building what they call the Rockin' Wrestling Connection, and they pretty much got into bed with MTV.
Rock and Wrestling.
So, like, and.
Rock and Wrestling.
But it's the N, because it's supposed to be cool.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And this was on MTV.
Yeah. So they had a show on MTV in 84. That was kind of the first one, the Brawl to End It All. And then during this time, Cyndi Lauper, you know her.
I do know Cyndi Lauper, okay. Yes.
So big star. Something. Massive star at this point. They are able to get to an agreement for Cyndi Lauper to be like part of wrestling for a bit in the WWF. So that came around from, do you remember Captain Lou Albano being in the Girls Just Want to Have Fun music video?
No.
Okay. So Cyndi Lauper met Lou Albano on a plane randomly.
And she's like, you got to be in my video.
You got to be the dad in this video. I got. So they become friendly in that, through that. So he gets her into wrestling. So Lou Albano had been this like nasty heel manager. And he.
What, really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And it actually started with he didn't like Lauper.
I thought he was always a good guy.
Well, then he turns good. And he becomes like a father figure to Lauper. So they have a big ceremony where they do a gold record in the ring to give Cyndi Lauper the gold record at MSG with her manager, David Wolfe. Lou Albano's there. And then Roddy Piper comes out because he's an asshole and he hates like celebrities and he hates like everything else that's not wrestling. And that's not him wrestling. So he comes out and he smashes the gold record and beats the shit out of Albano and throws around David Wolfe and like knocks down Cyndi Lauper. Destroys the whole ceremony.
He knocked down Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Hulk Hogan comes out. And that leads to this match here on MTV. It was actually a full house show at MSG, but MTV went live just for a couple of matches. And Hogan versus Piper was like the big one. So there are like tons of celebrities here. I don't remember.
Oh, no, I know.
You saw it after, right? Did you watch it?
No, they kept mentioning them during the telecast.
Okay. But did that one, because I have a video that had it after. I'm going to have to show you. I don't know if that's the one I sent you, where they actually interview all
yes,
the celebrities. Oh, you saw that. Okay.
Where they all come in. Gene just keeps bringing out.
Because that's the best part. That's the best part. Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Good. I'm glad I sent you that
one. So the score is the fact that Roddy Piper broke Cyndi Lauper's gold record.
Over Lou Albano's head.
Did Cyndi Lauper actually earn a gold record at this time?
I think so, yeah.
For what? Was it an album or a song or what?
I don't know if it was Girls Just Want to Have Fun or if it was the whole album. She was huge in 84.
So this guy's just like, you know what? Screw rock and roll. I only like bagpipes.
I don't think he likes anyone. He hates, like, all celebrities, all frill. Like, he's just an asshole.
He seems like he could be a nice good guy. Was he ever a good guy?
We'll get there. But for now, he's a real prick.
But for now, there's a score he's to be settled.
He is the biggest prick in wrestling, like, at this point.
I kind of really love him.
You should, because he's awesome.
He is awesome.
All right, so give me your thoughts on the match, and then we'll talk about the aftermath with Alan Hunter.
I can't even just give you my thoughts on the match. There's just so much going on.
You can. Go ahead.
First of all, it was Hogan and Piper, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because you also had me watch a later one.
Right.
So I'm getting those muddled up in my head right now. First, Bob Costas was there, which how old must he have been? Like 20 years old?
Yeah, that's funny because he was, he'd have a hate-love relationship with the wrestling, but he's around for some of the stuff early on. It was kind of cool seeing him, right?
It was very cool seeing him. I love Costas.
Time after time, reached number one and got a gold certification record sales.
That makes sense. That's a great song.
Yeah.
Hogan walks out to Eye of the Tiger. Was he not doing Real American yet?
Correct. Real American, fun fact, was actually written for another tag team.
That song was written for wrestling?
For wrestling by Rick Derringer. They wrote it. Wow. But it wasn't for Hulk Hogan. It was written for Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo, the U.S. Express.
The U.S. Express.
And they would leave shortly after, and then they used it for Hogan.
So could he not do Eye of the Tiger anymore because of like copyright laws? Because that was kind of a really cool song for him.
So it's interesting with like real music.
In the movie.
There's interesting times. There's interesting laws with copyright stuff. When you're in an arena, you don't have to pay usage fees, I don't believe. The problem is later on, when you want to like release like on VHS or eventually DVD or stuff like that, you can't. Then you have to start paying for it. So I think as they started to monetize this stuff, they decided that they were better off kind of keeping a lot in-house. Because like this 84, 85 period, there's a lot of people using like real music. Like Junkyard Dog uses like Another One Bites the Dust, and like We Are the Champions, or like the Tag Team, the Dream Team. So like a lot of these people were using just real songs. And as you'll see as we move forward, the more they started to like go national and monetize a lot of this stuff, they started making their own music for everyone.
I getcha. So it wasn't just a miraculous management decision to give Hogan that song? Because it just...
Maybe once they realized no one was using it, and they're like, wait a minute, we have a guy that's a real fucking American. We should give him this song.
All right, this was maybe, I don't know, the fourth or fifth Hogan fight I'd seen. And does he rip the shirt every time?
Yeah.
Because it's starting to not really do it for me.
That's his thing.
It's like, do you have to rip it? Anybody can rip a shirt. Like, I could rip a shirt.
Especially a pre-ripped one.
Yeah, it's pre-ripped.
It's like, his thing.
I'm so strong because I'm ripping the shirt.
I think it's supposed to, you know, exemplify his rage.
As this match was unfolding, I thought that you and I could do a show after, if someday in our 60s I ever get through this whole
yeah
wrestling tutelage, just on the 80s, like the 80s in general.
Yeah,
because it was amazing. They kept dropping celebrities' names, and I just felt like everyone was just crazy and happy and wearing flashy clothes and doing lots of drugs and just hanging with celebrities.
Yeah.
It's like there was one point where Piper body slams Hogan and Gene goes, and there's Cyndi Lauper and there's Joe Piscopo. Yeah. I'm like, dude, there's a match going on. Danny DeVito.
Well, see, it's funny because if you watch like the rest of that card, it's very bland and normal. And then when the cameras come on for MTV, they like flip the switch on the commentary, and it's like very, I think they knew this was their chance to reach like this brand new audience, and they really had to like endear them. Because MTV's on the come up at this point, don't forget too. Like they've only been around, you know, 6 years or whatever. So they're starting to really gain momentum. They're big with kids, and this was like a huge opportunity for WWF to show that they were hip and cool. We get all these celebrities. Look how much fun this is. Everyone loves coming out to MSG and watching these guys go crazy.
Yeah, I wish MTV
fucking Joe Piscopo's here going nuts. You know, like it's
Joe Piscopo.
But it's, I
what
think,
could be better?
So I think that was their goal on this night, was to say, we need to make wrestling look as cool as possible. And here are all the celebrities in here watching, whether they fucking know what's going on or not.
They did a good job, because it looked pretty cool. Although, the announcing team...
Not great.
Thumbs down.
Yeah, Gene is not good.
I thought Gene was good. He was kind of like the straight man. But Monsoon was like... Was this his first time ever? Because he gets so good in like the later years. And he just kept saying the same thing over and over again. He's like, everyone's on their feet. Joe Piscopo is on his feet.
Yeah, it wasn't his first time, but I think they were trying to make it... I think they basically said, like, don't do, like, the shtick stuff. Just sit there, call the match like a sporting event, and put over, the, like, the fanfare. So I think it was very just, you know.
But they were doing shtick because they were both, like, oh, give me a break every time Piper did something.
Right. But not really.
I think,
like,
the one heel, one good guy thing works together.
It does work better. And that's why
they kept saying the same stuff.
Yeah, most of that. They're not a great team, Gorilla and Gene. And Gene, actually, he pretty much is done commentating soon. He just does, like, backstage interviews and stuff and, like, reporting. All right, so the match itself, is that like second banana to you to the atmosphere on this one?
I think it was like a total package. There was a lot of wrestling stuff that I was really interested in that I could probably watch a couple times and ask you more questions. Like, for example, at one point, Piper puts Hogan in a sleeper hold,
mm-hmm.
which everybody knows what a sleeper hold is. And they're like, that's a choke hold. Ref, you got to stop. I've never heard of this. You can't choke somebody? Like, isn't that, like, one of the main things that wrestlers do is choke people?
Only for less than 5 seconds. Then you have to break the hold.
Okay, then what's a sleeper hold? Because you can't put someone to sleep without cutting off their throat. That's what a sleeper hold is.
The theory, I guess, is... if wrestling theory. The theory is, I guess, like, if you slip the arm, like, under the neck as a choke, it doesn't count. But you can, like, cut off the carotid artery up here and, like, put them to sleep.
Oh, wow, that's really splitting hairs, man.
It is. It is. But that's what they... So they always say, like, a lot of times, like, oh, he's got the arm under the chin, like, you know, against the windpipe.
That's a perfectly legal sleeper hold, as opposed to an illegal sleeper hold.
Basically.
Which looks the same.
Yeah, basically. But it's nuance. I mean, the wrestling as an art is a lot of nuance, right? It's making stuff look... It's making fake stuff look real without really hurting somebody, right? I mean, that's what it's supposed to be. So if they can explain the difference through nuance, and it was easier back then because people just fucking bought into it and believed for the most part. Like, they just believed it because the commentators are telling you it. The commentators have legitimacy. Why would Gorilla Monsoon lie to me? He's clearly choking him and not in the sleeper. Gorilla's a former wrestler.
Why
he
would
knows.
He lie?
Right? But I mean, that's what your thought process is, right? Why would this guy lie to me? I'm a kid. He's not going to lie to me. He's Gorilla Monsoon.
So this match was not for any belt or anything. It was just them.
No, it was for the world title.
Oh, so Hogan had the world title, and Piper... Was Piper ever the champion?
No.
So he wanted to win it for the first time?
Yes.
All right, so it's going along great, everything's fine, and then disaster.
Right, it's like chaos.
Cyndi Lauper's up there, Jimmy Snuka's in the ring, or is that the next one?
I think he's in this one. Well, Mr. T's comes out in this one.
Yeah, Mr. T comes out, and Paul Orndorff comes in.
Yeah, Orndorff.
So that's why they had the... Okay, now I'm getting back on track.
Okay.
Linearly. But then all of a sudden, there's a million cops in the ring.
Yeah.
Now, what the hell is that about? The referee was literally knocked unconscious.
Yeah.
Which I've seen several times in the past few matches.
Get used to that trope.
And now all of a sudden, there's a... Like, what made the security guys swarm the ring all of a sudden? Like...
Well, we're on national TV. They can't break up this fight. Celebrities are in the ring. It's just madness. They want to make sure fans don't start coming into the ring. So they just come out and they're, you know... Trying to keep the peace.
It's and then
chaos.
It's over. Disqualification. What was the disqualification?
Did Orndorff come in when the ref was down? And then like a brawl started? I haven't watched it too recently. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, the ref was out. Orndorff comes in. They start beating up Hulk Hogan. He's out.
Yeah.
And then Cyndi Lauper comes up.
Yeah, so this threw the match out. It's just chaos. Everyone's, you know, Piper cheated. Orndorff came in, attacked Hogan, and that's that. Madness. Madness is a real trend in Piper matches, so it's all fucking full of chaos.
Yeah, I would just like to see, like, an ending.
Yeah.
Like one guy wins.
Piper matches, you're not going to get many endings. That was one of his things. He always refused to, like...
It's like, if he's not going to win, then screw it.
Right. He wanted to keep his name.
Also, he did this motion, which you can't see by the podcast, but it's like you bring your arm up, and you put the other arm...
Like a flip-off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that, like, some kind of Italian thing?
Yeah, it's like a... You never did that one? Flip-off?
Yeah, but I don't know what it means.
Yeah,
does
it means
mean
fuck you.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like middle
so you
finger.
You can give the crowd the middle finger at this era.
Oh, yeah.
But you can't say fuck.
No. That was more to do with FCC.
Oh, right.
This is like
how they did not swear. Like they're getting their asses kicked. They're flying all over the place. Like how do they not swear? Like they're such a great character.
This is such a fun era for like the real bad guys. I mean, you hear stories about into the 70s and 80s, 60s, people getting stabbed. Like that's how much people believe. Like if you were a real bad guy and you could incite that much anger, you get like attacked and beat up. Like fans would come at you. Like they bought into it. And this was still an era where heels were just real dickheads that you could hate. That dissipates as people become smarter. But
so the heels have more backstory, like more complexity.
Yeah, and it's more fun usually to like be the heel because you can cheat and be a dick and everything else. The face has to be virtuous, you know. So it's
yeah, you can't just be a total like that's boring.
Yeah, unless you're Hulk Hogan and you have like
that's why I feel bad for the Sheik. He never got a fair shake.
He's gotten more than a fair shake. All right, so any other thoughts? Oh, let's talk about the celebrities.
Okay, so after the match, they end up in the locker room.
Yeah, and this is all still on MTV, by the way.
On MTV, who is this guy, Cyndi Lauper's manager?
David Wolf.
He is the biggest
piece. I think it was her boyfriend, too.
Was he like a record producer?
Yeah, I think so. Or he was...
All right, you know what? Forget it. I was going to lead up to
this. Yeah, manager and... yeah, it was a manager. And I thought they dated, too. Yeah, boyfriend and manager at the time.
What a total twat he is. Like, why is this guy on TV? Just because he knows Cyndi Lauper? That made me so angry.
Yeah, well, banging, so...
Andy fucking Warhol.
Yeah.
What? Are you kidding me? Why is Andy Warhol talking to Gene Okerlund in the locker room of a wrestling match? Like, are you serious? I saw that, and I'm like... That's Andy Warhol. He's like, Andy Warhol. He's like still in character. He's like waiting for some other people to talk to. And Andy Warhol in like perfect fashion is just like, this was the most exciting thing I have ever seen. Like, how much did he get paid for that 3 seconds on TV?
I don't know if they paid. Like, it was, I'm telling you, it was MTV.
That's
was
something
so...
that one of the seminal artists of the 20th century in America wanted to do. He just wanted to go on TV.
It was New York City in the 80s was like huge. Wrestling was getting big. MTV was huge. It was the cool place to be. And if they said MSG Wrestling, we're going to be there. Like it drew celebrities there. I don't think they paid him. And they may have, but I don't think so. I think
Does Andy Warhol ever wrestle?
No.
Okay.
This is the only time I think we ever see Andy Warhol.
That would be incredible. I couldn't believe it. Andy Warhol... They just keep bringing people out. Who else was it? You had
DeVito was one of my favorite ones.
Danny DeVito, he kind of ruined it a little bit.
Yeah,
because he was like, oh yeah, we're gonna take Lou Albano out. He's a really great actor. Like, no, we're not talking about actors. Did you just hear?
He was so out of it. He was like wrecked out of his mind. I think.
Yeah, his eyes were like little peas. He was coked out of his gourd. But then
Piscopo. Who else was there? It was
Piscopo. Is such a. He's the him and like Mark Wahlberg are the two least talented people who I don't understand how they ever got famous. Let's not get into Mark Wahlberg. He's still going strong, that guy.
Yeah.
Captain Lou Albano comes out.
Yeah.
Love that guy. I feel like he's the first person I've seen in all these matches I've watched who wasn't even a character. I feel like he was just being himself.
Right.
Like he was just on fire.
Mm-hmm.
They literally had to like contain him. They're like, all right, someone get Captain Lou to calm down.
He's out of his mind.
We got to get this show going.
He's really out of his mind. I mean, if you watch enough of him, he might get a grating on you, but he has a personality, and of course, Super Mario. Billy Squire was there. DeVito. I'm trying to see who else.
Somebody, you got to be honest, there. I never heard of Billy Squire.
I hadn't either. Scott explained
kind of
him to me.
Yeah.
Guy? No, he was part of a group. I can't remember who the fuck he is now. Scott explained the whole thing to me, and I can't remember now who he was.
They should have just cut it after Warhol. This is the most exciting thing I've ever seen in my life.
He was part of I don't know. The Kicks, the Sidewinder, somebody was just his own guy, too. The
fuck. And then Piper comes out in a towel.
Yeah, that was great.
He comes out in a towel, and he's wet.
Yeah.
They had just interviewed Hulk Hogan, saying, where's Roddy Piper? Where's Roddy? He's in the shower, obviously. Like, the guy went into the shower because the match was over.
They have different showers.
So he's not really from Scotland, is he? That accent was totally fake. They said from Glasgow, Scotland. This is another Kamala situation. The guy's just wearing...
He's Canadian.
Is his name really Piper?
No.
So the Piper has to do with the bagpipes? Canadian?
He's Canadian.
Oh my God.
His first name is Roddy, though. That's real.
Man, I feel like such an idiot.
You gotta buy in, man. You gotta buy in. This is the characters. It's like your favorite shows. And
he was great, though. He comes in, he like does some motion toward Danny DeVito. Like, get the hell out of here. He's like twice the size of Danny DeVito. Danny DeVito's trying to have like an honest conversation with the guy. He's like, get out of here. Hulk Hogan, bah.
The, Alan Hunter is the MTV VJ who's like doing this with Gene. And he actually does on Sirius the 80s countdown these days. Like, he's a VJ or DJ on Sirius. And he actually talked about this. Like, because it was, I was happening listening on the day. It was like this week in 1980, whatever. And he's like, yeah, it was today in 1985. I was part of the war to settle the score with WWF wrestling. And like, he put it over. It was like a great time that he had.
Which everybody in the world except Jeff Machado knows about.
Right. So there you go. Even fucking Alan Hunter is still talking about it. But anyway, it was a good time. Any other final thoughts on the war before we move on?
Well, I ended up giving it a 3 stars, okay. But I would definitely watch it again. I thought it ended too abruptly, but in terms of like pop culture, it was just like a total orgasm.
Right. It was awesome.
Yeah. It was amazing.
The, would you rank that above Hogan and Sheik? Cause you have them as the same rating. What do you prefer?
All right, I'll give it 3.5 stars.
No, you can keep... Stuff's going to have the same rating. Just where do you... If you had to order them, would you put it ahead?
Well, yeah. If this was like, okay. You know, a computer algorithm, it would be like 3.02 to 2.98, yeah, yeah. That kind of thing.
You're going
to
have too many matches. You can't have them all be different star ratings.
Maybe we should save the ratings to the end.
We can do that. Want to do that?
I feel like there's a lot of pressure to ranking these things. So maybe if I just give my initial thoughts and all your other questions... All
right.
Then at the end, we can have we'll like a big wrap-up show.
Okay.
But...
Wait, a big wrap... You mean at the end of the series?
Yeah, that's right.
No, I think you meant at the end of the episode. No, you're going to do it now.
We're going to do 50, like 300 rankings right now. Like this one, 3 stars. This one, 4 stars. Yeah,
sadly,
that's a dumb idea.
That was dumb. Okay. Let me ask you this, though. Did this whet your appetite for like a big-time rematch?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like I could watch Piper and Hogan a million times.
Okay. All right, so we got how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We got like 7 matches left to talk about, I think. six or seven. So why don't we do a couple more? Hang on, 1, 2, 3. We got 6 more to talk about. Let's do a couple more, then we'll take a break. So let's get to WrestleMania 1, because that was what was up next. And you had mentioned to me last time that you thought, you know, WrestleMania 1 must be the best one because it was the first one, and you checked it out, were a little disappointed. But now that you had seen a little taste of the WWF in that era... Leading up to this, you saw the war to settle the score. Did you feel a little bit more like, did you understand the look or feel of WrestleMania 1 a little bit more? Did you get a little bit more of the excitement for it?
No.
Okay.
I feel because you made me watch parts of 4 first.
Yeah.
And by just a couple years later, the production value is just out of the...
Through the roof, yeah.
Yeah. I just felt like there are just so many events that they keep rolling out. And the crowd, you can see them, like, you know, checking their watch, and they go in the bathroom and stuff, and I don't know. Like, let's go back to that Kamala thing.
Yeah.
How long does it take? Have you ever been to a live event with a steel cage?
Yeah, so...
How long does it take to disassemble? You just sitting around for, like, half an hour?
Well, to assemble is longer, and usually the cage matches would be the main event, because they wouldn't have to have then people sit there while they disassemble it. In modern times, they actually hang the cage from the ceiling and
just
lower
drop it.
Yeah. Smart. At that time, they had to put it together. It was probably a good 10 to 12 minutes it would take to put it together.
Okay. Yeah. Well, WrestleMania 1, it's good. It's just not, you know.
All right. Well,
like
we
said, I think it might be. There's like no noise. There's no music.
Yeah. It's it's just
and
the
this
era.
this next fight we're talking about was just terrible.
So, Andre the Giant versus Big John Studd. Is that the one we're talking about?
No. I think you put I guess I put that one different in the order.
Okay.
Well, that one was pretty good.
Okay, let's talk about that one first. That came first, I think, chronologically.
I like the gimmick matches. Like, he either body slams him or he retires forever.
Right.
Those are two, like, not balanced out outcomes at all.
And the money on the line, too, don't forget.
$15,000. Yes, and the bag of $15,000, yeah. Which, first of all, you don't need a bag that big to put $15,000 in.
You do.
And second of all, none of them would really care that much about $15,000. Like, if you said, Jeff...
It's a pride thing,
you
though.
Got to body slam a guy for $15,000, I'd be like, how about $35,000? Like, you know.
But it's a thing. Think about, like, when you make, because you're a big bet guy, you like to make side bets in here and there. It's the rush of taking someone's money, isn't it? Like, you can make a $10 bet with me right now on this Yankees-Royals game, and if you won, you'd get the thrill of beating me and me having to hand you $10. So, I mean, that's part of it. You're still
taking the money. One of those ropes in the ring doesn't cost $15,000. Like, even if it was fake money, make a brick or something. Put, like, the rolled-up rubber bands. They had a little kitty duffel bag filled with loose bills.
Promoting the merchandise, though. How many people want to...
You got this big 7-foot-tall gazillionaire waving around like, oh, yeah, I got the money. It was so dumb.
So the whole gimmick was that Big John Studd claimed he couldn't be slammed. Obviously, you got that, right? And so did they talk about any of the backstory with... Okay, so Big John Studd and this guy Ken Patera had attacked Andre the Giant in late 1984. And as you saw in that Kamala match, Andre had an afro.
Yeah.
And they shaved his afro. They humiliated him and shaved his afro. So Andre was not happy. They carried his hair around in a bag. And Andre was just looking for revenge wherever he could get it.
He carried his hair in a bag.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, just really taunting him. And the classic Vince McMahon line was that they raped him of his dignity when they shaved his head. So Andre's looking for revenge here. So
he looks better with short hair.
He does look much better. But so he wanted to get his revenge on John Studd, take his money and slam him. Because Studd said Studd had that money on the line for anyone who could slam him at any time. That was his thing.
So he had never been body slammed.
Well, I mean, he probably had, but in this... He had it.
So it's one of those things where they say if you've never done something, it's actually happened before, but they just keep saying, they just keep perpetuating the myth.
Yeah.
Is there anything that's still a myth? Are there any myths that are still alive?
I mean, the thing back...
Is there something that no one's ever done to whoever the champion is now? I don't even want to know who the champion is
now. Yeah, I don't know. But the... I mean, the thing is, back then, not everything was, like, televised. There was no internet. So shit can happen on some fucking, you know, Big John Studd could have been slammed on some show in St. Louis. And no one ever saw it besides the people in St. Louis. And they were like, well, I saw him get slammed, but whatever. No one else cares. So it's like, you know, they could get away with it. But he may not have been on Dota FTV. I don't know. But
it's such an easy thing to do. I mean, a guy of that strength can body slam somebody who weighs, like, 80 pounds more than them.
All
the time.
It's a whole... It's the whole idea of that you have to not only just lift him and slam him, you got to beat him up to allow you to, because he can just force you back down. Big John Studd could work hard to prevent people from slamming him.
I don't know, man. I feel like these guys got to work on like a level of what can be done at one time, because you just said you have to beat up a guy a certain amount before you can body slam him, but there'll be some matches where they get body slammed in the first 20 seconds.
Right. But are they 400
pounds? Who's not 400 pounds? They're all at least 280.
Yeah, but that's 280 small in wrestling. You know what I'm saying?
It's small, but I don't know. Andre the Giant's got body slammed, hasn't he?
Not yet.
Maybe I'm just thinking of Big John Studd.
All right, so what'd you think of Andre Studd the match?
I thought it was great because unlike the Kamala match where I was like... using binoculars to try to peek in between the chain links and trying to figure out if Kamala had any athletic skill at all. Andre came in and he was all smiling. He was like wicked cocky and he just looked in control the whole time. It was really cool. It was like a really cool, awesome Andre match.
Just beat the shit out of him and then slammed him and took his money and threw it out to the crowd like a dick.
He took the little baggie.
What'd you think of Bobby Heenan? Like, trying to get all the money back in the bag and everything.
Yeah, that's pretty dumb.
Well, he's like a grimy fucking cheap guy. He's trying to get all his money back.
I mean, he's great. But I'm like, oh, come on.
What did you
You know what would have been cool is if he gave the whole bag to like a little kid, and then he didn't grab that out of the little kid's hands. That would have been great.
What did you think of the moment when he slams him and like the crowds, like how into it they were?
It was very memorable.
Yeah,
it was epic.
So is that your favorite Andre moment so far?
So far, yes.
Okay.
Either that or any of the time that he's talking in the... when he was a heel and he was talking with Gene, he's just great.
Yeah.
He just sounds so crazy. And he does this thing because he goes, ha, 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 and then Gene goes, all right, next thing. And his face just goes totally blank, like he's back to his real self and he just walks off camera. He's like, all right, time's over.
Shut down. You like Andre. He's your first favorite. That's good.
Wouldn't you like to be friends with him? Wouldn't you just like to hang out with the guy?
I mean, this is some crazy stories.
He's so nice. He's like such a nice dude.
Crazy stories. How much beer he could drink and everything else.
Like more than Wade Boggs?
Yeah, I mean, he drank, what the hell was the, this is like legendary story, so many bottles of wine, it was like 80-something bottles of wine or something in a sitting.
God.
They, and when they actually had, when he had back surgery later on, they didn't know how much anesthesia to give him, so they went by how much he could drink to get drunk, and that's how they measured it out, by how much anesthesia to give him, so they didn't kill him.
So I should keep track of how much...
Just in case.
So if the doctor has any questions, there you go.
There's how much I think to get drunk. But Bill Simmons, they're doing that documentary on HBO, so you'll have to, we'll have to watch that. They're doing an Andre the Giant biography.
Really? I have mixed feelings about him, but I'm sure it'll be good.
Yeah, he's maybe like super into Andre and wrestling, so I'm sure it'll be good. We'll do a show on it. We'll watch it and do a show on it.
Okay.
All right?
I'll probably
be our first microscope.
Microscopes with right. Justin and Jeff.
All right, so we're not going to do the star rating yet, then. We're going to wait and do it at the end of the show?
Wait, I think I ranked that one. Well, we'll save the change of format for next time.
Okay.
Nope, I didn't give that one a rating yet.
Okay.
Well, let's just give it 3 stars.
Okay. Did you like it better than Hogan and Piper?
No.
Okay. Better than Hogan and Sheik?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, now we're getting somewhere.
Maybe we should do a top 10, like a 10-point scale. You know how I love top 10 lists.
Yeah, well, that's how our top 10 matches. This is what we're kind of doing. If you kind of forget the stars are our guide of where to slot them. But this is the general order of your favorite matches.
Yeah.
So don't worry as much about the star. You know, we want to do star ratings because you will get... The more you watch, the more it's going to become intuitive in your own mind. What's 3? What's 2? What's 4? Like, you'll start to learn the more you watch.
I can't wait to watch a match that I like less than Andre versus Kamala because that'll be fun to
talk about. I can find you some. Don't you worry. All right, let's do one more, then we're going to take a break. So now this is the match it seems like you're not going to be a very big fan of. That is Wendy Richter versus Leilani Kai from WrestleMania 1. And the reason I chose this was it's part of the fallout from the war to settle the score, because Cyndi Lauper is managing Wendy Richter. And Leilani Kai had beaten Wendy, taken the title off her, the women's title. She's managed by Fabulous Moolah.
The Fabulous Moolah.
So Richter and Lauper are like God, like over right now with the fans. They are like super, super into him. Huge reactions. They love Lauper. They love Richter. It's like madness. And here we go with this match.
It's just terrible on every level. They started off in the locker room. Of the 4 people, the managers and the wrestlers, none of them can talk.
Yeah, that's accurate.
They were so bad at talking that they were saying, I can't even talk. Because right. They were stumbling over the words so bad.
Yeah.
Let's see. Cyndi Lauper she seemed okay in the first one, the score one. Like yeah. She had some, but she was still stumbling. This one, she was looking at Gene and like trying to like almost think about what she was gonna say. It was just awful. Like I feel like they should practice more.
But what did you think of her aura coming out? Like she felt like a star coming out there, right?
No.
No, you didn't think so?
Well, the crowd did because she's Cyndi Lauper, but she was not. She should have been like cooler.
Yeah.
She was wicked amped up. She had her face scrunched. She looked like a little kid.
Yeah.
She was like, come on, we're going to go in the ring now.
But I think that was her thing, wasn't it? Was she cool? I don't know if she was cool or she was kind of like...
Well, she kind of had this punky thing right. going, but yeah. I mean, she was a funny person.
Yeah.
She did like duets with Frank Sinatra. She was in a lot of sitcoms. Like she, I don't know, it was a little too like, eh,
yeah.
We're tough guys. And Wendy Richter... Sounds
terrible, right?
She sounds like an 18th century English hooker. She sounds like some dirty skank who Jack the Ripper definitely would have murdered if he had known who she was. And she's wearing like this disgusting eyeshadow.
Yeah.
Ah, this is just terrible. Like, yeah, and then we're gonna win, yeah. Like she kept saying and then what? Like, what are you even talking about?
So did it surprise you that this was such a big deal, this match? I mean, it was huge. You could argue it was, like, the biggest match on this show.
What? Why, though? Is it just because...
Because of Cyndi Lauper.
Because of Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah.
So there's no, like, big, long backstory of, like, female wrestlers before this?
No. I mean, Wendy Richter was champion, and Leilani Kai cheated to beat her with the help of Moolah, or Shmoolah, as Cyndi Lauper calls her.
And Moolah was a former champion.
She was champion, like, forever.
And she looks like she's 60. So they had the female title all the way back, like, back in the day.
Yeah. End quote.
What does the quote mean?
Who knows? It's all dark history. Like,
is
no
the
one...
Moolah thing supposed to reference money?
So yeah, I think so.
So this whole money thing is, you know, like the Million Dollar Man and Heenan. Just having money makes you bad?
Well, that's being greedy about money makes you bad.
Is that like a thing? Because now having money is cool.
Greed was big in the 80s. It was a big, wasn't it? Like, that was like Wall Street, yeah, the yuppies. Yeah.
They were trying to make greed evil. Was that like some kind of Christian push to get us to give all our money away?
Scott. I don't know. I'm not sure.
All right. I'm definitely looking forward to Scott's take on the 80s anti-money theme. Because it was a little...
Which is funny
because
the church likes money.
It was a little overbearing.
All right. So the pop... Have we talked about what a pop is?
No.
The pop is a reaction of the crowd. Like, you know, they pop for a big move or something. So that's the big reaction you want. You want a sustained buzz, a cheer, but a pop is like Andre slams stud and the crowd pops up and goes crazy. So that's what a pop is. So, you know, you judge like the size of the pop.
Is there an opposite of a pop or is it just a silence. Pop on levels?
Right. I mean, it could just be
like
that silence.
That was like a level 2 pop?
Yeah, you'll know as you'll see them. Like, in your mind, what's been the biggest, like, bang crowd reaction so far?
So far of everything I've watched, or so far just, from what we've just been talking about?
Either way, whatever. Like, just think of the biggest moment you've seen with a crowd is just, like, blown up.
I feel like when Hulk Hogan and the... Was it the Twin Towers match? When he knocked out both guys at the same time?
Yeah, I think so.
That wasn't a great pop, was it?
I don't remember. So maybe not.
I don't know, man. I'm too invested in the characters. I can't
be
focused
it's
on
all right. But it's just
which
something to keep
pop
in mind.
Is popping the best.
But I'm trying to get the point across is that you'll know big pops when you hear. I just wanted to explain the term pop. So what did you think of the reaction when Richter wins and everyone's going crazy and they're celebrating?
Well, I don't think I could focus on the crowd reaction because I thought that the final pin was so dumb.
Yeah.
She gets on the top rope. First of all, she had just beaten the crap out of her. She body slams her. She gets on the top rope, jumps on her, and then when she lands, Richter just turns over and pins her. Explain to me how that happens. So I take a baseball bat, I hit you in the head, and you use the momentum of me hitting you in the head with the bat to knock me out.
No, I mean, the physics aren't the same. So if you're jumping off a high object, you're coming at me with so...
The physics.
You're coming from a high object, you're coming at me, and you hit me top heavy, our momentum can take us right over. We roll right over.
But you just got hit by a human being.
But she's not rolling her over, the momentum's taking them over. So if I ran at you and charged and hit you up here and we fly over, you know, I might go over you because I'm running so hard at you.
Yeah, but she just took a shot in the chest. How's she going to pin somebody?
Well, because she just falls on top and...
Anyway.
The momentum, you know, helped the blow. See, there's some physics stuff that you just have to accept in wrestling, like whipping someone into the ropes. I mean, why would you keep running?
Because you have no other choice, right? You get flung out.
You're going to stop.
You can't tell me that they're running on purpose. Well, sometimes they do stop. They grab the rope.
I know. But my point is you could stop every time if you wanted to. There's a certain physics stuff you have to let go of.
I feel like you're ruining this for me.
I'm not trying to ruin it for you.
You're trying to use physics to explain to me.
I'm trying to tell you to forget about physics. So just accept the fact that someone may jump off the top rope and the momentum flips them over.
Okay, but can I just say that...
Oh, you can say it's dumb. Oh, yeah.
Maybe she...
But you asked me how it works.
All right, fine. Maybe I'm not saying it's dumb, but maybe she didn't fly through the air correctly. Maybe she shouldn't have lost.
She sucks.
And the crowd goes crazy like, oh my god, I can't believe she just pinned her.
Yeah.
But it's just because she sucked. She did the wrong thing.
Yeah. Well, that's a big part of winning is taking advantage of your opponent's mistakes.
Man, you're such a Richter honk.
I don't like Randy Richter. Me and Scott had a huge argument. He argued, well, something happens later in the year and she was going to leave. And he had this big argument of why they should have kept her. And I'm like, she's just a fucking cog. Any woman could have been in that spot. Wendy Richter had nothing... No value in that spot. It could have literally been any other female. If you put her with Cyndi Lauper, she would have been like a star.
That sounds slightly misogynistic.
No, because I'm putting over
Cyndi
Lauper.
But not as misogynistic as my favorite quote of the match, which was Jesse Ventura.
The king of misogyny.
The king of misogyny, who was ironically trying to give a compliment. He goes, Wendy Richter is a really strong woman. She can bench press over 200 pounds. I know guys who can't bench press that much.
Oh, that's tame.
And I'm like, dude, I can't bench press 100 pounds.
That's tame for Jesse. He said a lot worse. It was that so, is very like, tame. That,
he was trying to be nice, but, you know, 200 pounds is a lot.
We just, I just
know
heard
guys who can't bench press 200 pounds. Like, screw you, Jesse.
I just heard one of the worst Jesse quotes is when Roddy Piper is whipping Mr. T with a belt, and he says it's like Roots 2.
Oh, my God.
So, all right. Final thoughts on this match?
I missed that one. Well, I didn't really talk about our favorite move. I guess that final move was the one that stood out. So yeah. It was kind of my favorite by being my least favorite. But I also really liked when Moolah just grabbed her hair. And Cyndi Lauper, I don't know if there's a better angle, but she just kind of walks over and nudges her. And then that's it. The confrontation over. Like, oh, the manager just stuck up for a wrestler.
Right.
Like, the girl has a firm grip of her hair. And then she just kind of, like, pushes her away. And she's like, oh.
So you expected more.
But also, they were, like, this is in vain with the chokeholds. They would grab each other's hair for long periods of time. Nobody would say anything. And then the announcers were like, that's illegal. They're grabbing too much hair. But they've been doing it the whole time.
Yeah.
So, and then they would try to, like, do arm bars and stuff. Why wouldn't, if you can grab their hair, why wouldn't you do that all the time? Just take a hold of the hair and just beat the crap out of the girl.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's technically legal to hold the hair. Usually with most stuff like that, you get 5 seconds. Some referees are more lenient than others. It's like an umpire with a bigger strike zone.
Well, I mean, if you can't grab the hair, then they should have their hair back in a bun or something.
Like Troy Polamalu.
Yeah.
Don't have it hanging if you don't want it to get pulled.
Exactly.
All right, what do you grade this one? Or any other notes before we take a break here? I see something about David Wolf at the bottom.
Let's see. The only thing I wrote down is that I would never watch this again.
Okay. This is the first match I think you've said you would not. Well, Andre Kamala, I guess, too.
Andre Kamala.
So is this worse than Andre Kamala?
No.
Or because of the hoopla,
it was
better?
It was a little better. Okay. I mean, it did have some actually good wrestling moves in it.
Okay.
I just hated both girls so much, and I was very disappointed in Lauper.
All right, so what would you give this for stars?
1.5.
All right. So there you go. Slot it in. All right.
This does not in any way make me sexist. You just haven't shown me a good female fight yet.
It's perfectly fine. We'll get to some good women stuff.
I can just hear all the listeners out there.
No,
like,
they're more likely to say the opposite. Wrestling fans. You're good. All right. Let's take a break. We have 4 matches to go, and they're all good ones. I'm hoping.
What are
you
doing on time? This whole hour show slot thing.
The first half is an hour over, so we'll be okay. All right, let's take a break. We'll take a breather. I'm going to have a drink of water, take a piss, and we'll be right back after this.
Consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which of course includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the pro wrestling only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com, and we now offer them to you on 2 great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with Clotheslines and Headlines, Main Event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows. And we leave wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse. the Our Vantage Point podcast, which features a potpourri-style look at wrestling history, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. And on our very popular Place of Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler podcast, Our Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and the Imaginary Stories. You can find all these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All these shows, plus others, available at PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, thehistoryofwrestling.com, and Scott Keith's blog, of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Nation, we are back. Hope you're enjoying episode 2 of Jeff Learns Wrestling. I know I am. And we have 4 matches off to talk about as we finish up pretty much the year of 1985 here on Jeff Learns Wrestling. And the next episode will probably be focused into 86. So we're going to stick at WrestleMania 1 for the main event. This match is pretty much the fallout from the war to settle the score. We have Hulk Hogan teaming up with Mr. T to take on Roddy Piper and Paul Orndorff. And that show, you know, the Cyndi Lauper stuff was big, but this was really what the show was built on the back of. Hogan and T were on Saturday Night Live the night before.
Really, nothing gets you ready for a championship fight quite like going on Saturday Night Live.
Sketch comedy. But that was a big deal for them to be on there.
How could they come out after such an amazing, epic match that they had just preceded them?
I know.
Like how tough, the crowd? If I was in the crowd, I just would have left.
Just after that gym. Did T come off as well, we'll get your thoughts, but was T like a, did he look like he fit out there?
Yeah, I mean, he was doing the whole shaking the rope thing, like, let me in there, I want that Piper, which is like a pretty standard tag team thing. I think, has he ever wrestled before?
This is his first match.
Oh wow.
What did you think about like the celebrity hoopla? Muhammad Ali, Billy Martin, the Rockettes, Liberace.
Billy Martin introducing Liberace was pretty funny because that is a tag team right there.
Yeah.
Like Billy Martin and Liberace, those are like such great polar opposites. They'd probably be awesome.
Yeah.
Like the flashy guy, like the crazy southern guy. Muhammad Ali, I don't really know where he was in his like life at the time, but Jesse was kind of talking him up. He was like, oh, Muhammad Ali still likes, looks like he go 12 rounds. And I'm like, I don't think so.
He had retired, but I don't think the diseases had set in yet, right? I think he was still kind of with it. You think it started to creep in?
It looked a little bit slow. I mean, yeah. He did get better. He like punched at a couple guys during the fight. And,
yeah.
But he still had, he had that look of not so much.
All there.
All there.
A little punch drunk.
A little bit. But yeah.
So were you hyped for this match after the war?
I was. But then I started thinking about it. So this would be like the war to settle the war to settle the score.
The war to settle the score that started at the war that tried to settle the score.
Well, if the last one was the war to settle the score, right, then this would be the war to settle the score. No, the war to settle the war to settle the score. Or the war to settle the score that was settled.
Not settled.
At the war, right, to settle the score.
Right. The war was, yeah.
You know the problem with the phrase the war to settle the score? Every war has a score.
Right.
It's like implied in the word war. Like there's never been a war that doesn't have a score. Like any war could be the war to settle a score. Like yeah, there's always a score.
Could just be two angry guys. No score.
This is like a, they just had to come up with a rhyming thing. Thriller Manila.
I feel like World War III is not going to really have a score.
Did the brawl to end it all actually end it all?
No, they failed.
Exactly.
Never end. And now this was never scored. Or settled. So we come out, Hogan and T, Piper and Orndorff. Did Orndorff fit in Did you like him? We haven't talked about him yet.
At first, I looked at him, and Jesse was like, Jesse's like my barometer. I just listen to whatever he says. He's like, oh, he's like a Greek god. He's in perfect physical condition. I was like, yeah, he looks pretty strong, but he also looks like he's about 70 years old.
One off? No, he was like in his prime at this point.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, his face is not aged well.
And another big super racist douchebag asshole on TV, not in real life. Well, maybe on real life, but like this is wrestler Tony Atlas. The black guy calls him a spider monkey on one of those shows.
Oh, man.
So it's like, but again, 1985. And he,
I just picture these guys. Do they all just go out to dinner together? Because in order to be this good at what they do, they must be relatively intelligent, right? So do you have, like, this Atlas guy and Orndorff and, you know, whoever else was racist just sitting around at dinner just being like, so how about that spider monkey?
Maybe.
Yeah, this one's on me.
I mean, I think some of them, didn't get along. It was a competitive sport. Some guys were together. At this time, too, they had to really keep it. They were dictated to keep things separate as far as, like, faces and heels not commingling in public.
Yeah.
You know, so like Piper and Hogan would never be seen.
So it's kind of like if you work at Target, you can't be seen at Walmart?
Right, kind of like that. Like Roddy Piper and Hogan couldn't
be
seen.
You could only get hang out in like underground.
Underground Walmart?
Yeah.
But Piper and Hogan couldn't be seen like having dinner together at this point.
I don't know if this has happened before, but what really kicked off this match that got me angry was they keep ringing the bell. So you got Finkel who's like, blah, 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 Roddy Piper, and it's like ding, 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 ding.
It isn't.
Why is he doing that?
I know. It always hated me too.
You're supposed to ring it once. You ring it when the match starts. You ring it when the round's over.
I don't get it. It was like they were trying to call attention. It's weird.
Oh man,
ding, 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 ding.
I hope they stop that shit. Because
they do. I don't think they ever do it again after that. That was like the one time. So casual racism aside with Paul Orndorff, did you feel like he belonged like in that mix though?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought they were a good team, him and Piper. Like, they seemed, like, equally douchey.
Yeah. Like, there's this one great... There was a show called TNT that was, like, a studio show, and they kind of did, like, skit stuff. And he goes to a gym, and he's teaching people how to work out, and he's just, like, making fun of, like, all these fat women and stuff at the gym. It's pretty good as a bad guy. A real asshole.
Who's Cowboy Bob? Why do they each have an extra guy there?
So, Bob
Orton.
They got
this Cowboy Bob, and the other two guys had somebody.
Snuka.
Oh, yeah, right.
So, Cowboy Bob is Piper's bodyguard. And there was always, like, vague situations that they were, like, dating. Not really, though.
Really?
No, I mean, not really. Like,
no, that's interesting you say that, because I feel like there was a lot of gay stuff going on in this match.
Yeah, like, Piper and Orton, that was always kind of the joke. Like, they'd hug a lot. And, like, it was always, like, kind of, it was more to, like, get people worked up, you know? But,
like, Liberace was there. Like, everyone knew Liberace was gay at the time, right?
Right, yeah.
So I would think that WWF was, like, really macho. Like, they don't want a gay celebrity there, but...
Yeah, I don't think they care.
They're just ahead of the curve?
Yeah, I think so.
That's surprising. In a pleasant way.
There's times that it's not accepted as much. But, Orton is Piper's bodyguard, so he's out there. Snuka was brought in to neutralize Orton on the floor, so they didn't have an advantage.
That's just weird that you can bring a bodyguard.
His manager.
The manager concept is strange, too, but you got two guys who are actually wrestlers just joining you for no reason.
Well, Snuka's just out there to even the score, make sure Orton doesn't get involved.
He's there to even the score at the war to settle the score.
And then Muhammad Ali is the enforcer referee.
Yeah, he wasn't even in the ring.
Well, they couldn't trust him, I think, to run the match, you know, so he had to kind of just be out there.
You can't be teaching a guy all the rules of wrestling by the time of one big event. Right. I mean, he's only a professional boxer. These referees, they're raised up since they were little babies.
They are. It's intricate, man. They're running, they're calling shit out there.
They don't have to do anything.
No, they do. They're a big part of the match.
All they have to do is pretend not to see things happen.
They keep the match moving.
One, two, three.
They're connected to the back via an earpiece. They're giving people, they give the guys cues when to do certain things, let them know different, you know, timing on everything, make sure the match is going right.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they're like running the match out there.
That is fascinating.
Yeah.
Wow.
So like they may be saying, oh, it's time to go home. Oh, you got, you know, we have to do
this. Next time I watch a match, I'm just going to be staring at the referee, seeing if I can get any little.
Yeah. Like you'll see them talking and you think they're yelling at them, but they're really maybe giving an instruction. And
now you body slam him.
Right. Well, I don't know about that much love, but they definitely keep, they definitely keep things moving along. So
you got 30 seconds left on national TV, so you got to win soon.
Right. So shit like that, maybe. All right, so talk about the match. What do you got written down here?
Well, this was the first time that Hogan used the Real American
on pay-per-view. Well, he had just started using it. No, he wasn't using it yet. They dubbed it in.
They dubbed it?
Because
I noticed that because he wasn't really dancing the same
right.
way.
Yeah, because on the network, they didn't want to pay for the royalties for like Eye of the Tiger. So they just dub it in. If you watched the pure like raw footage of
Eye of the Tiger?
He had Eye of the Tiger.
Because Mr. T was there.
Right.
Is Sylvester Stallone ever involved in any of this stuff?
No, not really.
That's weird. Because he's like Rambo.
Right.
He's Rambo, he's Rocky. Why wouldn't he want to get
involved? I don't remember him really ever being involved. But yeah, Hogan doesn't get Real American until early 1986.
Well, it played, and I was thinking at the time, because there's been something, like I told you the first episode, that song gets stuck in my head.
Right.
And continuing with this homoerotic theme,
yes.
It's a very sensual song. Like, I hear that song, and I see him ripping his shirt, and I just kind of want to dance with him.
Yeah.
And like smoke weed, and just chill. And it's like really kind of a laid back, kind of groovy song. He does this weird dance. He like does this, can you hear me thing with his ear?
Yeah.
And it's relaxing, and then he's got a fight. But I don't know, it somehow works for him. As far as how the match started, I think, was it Orndorff and Hogan started, and then Mr. T, and Piper tags in.
Right.
And then Mr. T wants to come in. So Mr. T has never wrestled before.
Right.
He was pretty good. He just, like, was beating the crap out of the guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't really have a signature move or anything. He's just kind of like wailing.
No, he does that like airplane spin thing where he puts him on his shoulders and spins around.
Yeah. And Monsoon was like, oh, it's a real amateur move. I'm like, that's kind of being mean. I mean, he's never really wrestled before.
I think he meant like maybe amateur style.
Wow. There's a better way to pick a guy up over your head?
No, he's saying like amateur wrestling move. Not like an amateur. Like a Greco-Roman move.
Oh, like...
Like amateur wrestling is like Olympic wrestling.
Like real wrestling.
Yeah. That's what he was saying.
I see. Monsoon was kind of on fire. He kept saying things. I don't know if they were doing this intentionally, but he would be like, there's a four-way going on. All four guys were in the ring, and there was one point where Mr. T did like a reversal, and he's like, and now Mr. T's going at him from behind. Like, there were literally at least seven or eight overtly sexual comments that he made. I don't know if it was just an accident. Or if it's just the way that a tag team match
right.
evolves.
I mean, it's tough to know with Monsoon because he is known for, like, kind of ribbing on commentary and, like, being an asshole. I mean, there's a chance he was working shit in. There's also a chance it's just the way he was talking.
He also said Mr. T looked in great shape. He had been living on tuna fish and water for weeks.
Yeah.
Is that a real thing? Like, can I do that?
Yeah.
Just tuna fish and water. Like, canned tuna fish?
Yeah,
or
I mean,
like
tuna
fresh
fish is...
tuna, like the...
No,
sushi?
Can't... I mean, I think either tuna fish, probably. It's, I mean, it's just... protein, pretty much. Mercury, I guess. And water's water. So, yeah. I mean, I think it's a way to really
cut
weight.
I thought that was a really strange comment. Like, it must be true, right? He wouldn't just make that up.
I think it's certainly a diet.
Mr. T ate tuna fish and water. So, I can do that.
Yeah.
I don't need to eat salad. I don't need to, like, prepare.
I think between now and when we play basketball next week, you should only eat tuna fish and drink water.
I'm going to try it.
Okay.
I'm definitely going to try it. So, yeah, it was kind of a crazy match. Tag team matches are hard to follow because people keep tagging in and out. Like, what were some of the big moments that I neglected?
Well, how about, like, Ali? Ali comes in and he ends up punching, who's he punch? Is it Piper or Orton? Punches someone.
I think it was the Cowboy.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
And then the end has a miscommunication. I mean, that's pretty memorable. Orton comes off the top rope with the cast.
Oh, yeah, and he knocks him out with the cast.
Yeah. Cost him the match.
And then, so what happens after that? So Mr. T is, like, trying to be nice to him because he's knocked out.
Right.
And then he gets up and freaks out.
Yeah. And then they leave, and then he's just, like, on his own, getting all pissed off or whatever. Was this a worthy main event of the first WrestleMania?
I don't know. I mean, it's a tag team match. I feel like if... I was watching it live, and I'm like, I'm really into wrestling, and it's WrestleMania, and they built it up as this great event. I would want to see, like, a championship match.
So Mr. T being there doesn't outweigh it for you? Knowing he was, like, a huge star at the time?
Well, yeah. I actually used to sign my...
It'd be like if The Rock wrestled now.
I actually used to sign my assignments in kindergarten, B.A. Jeff, because I love the A-team.
So mom, you know how big he was, then?
Yeah.
So think if you were a wrestling fan, all of a sudden your favorite guy showed up and wrestled in the main event.
That's what's tough at my age. I don't have a favorite guy anymore.
No, no. Me. What if I showed up for WrestleMania?
That would be great.
Okay.
That would be 5 stars right there.
So did T blend it? Like, do you think he at least looked like he knew kind of what he was doing out there?
Yeah.
Or did he stick out?
I think he was good. I would say the best wrestler match was actually Orndorff, which I was surprised because I guess he wasn't as old as I thought he was. But
no,
he looked really old, but he was jumping around all over the place. Yeah. He had the aerial skills. He's a very strong dude. He's kind of like got the sculpted. Who are we talking about? Who, like Hogan and Ultimate Warrior?
Rick Rude.
Rick Rude. He kind of had a bit more of the
cut.
The cut look.
What did you think of Piper? He comes out with the bagpipes and all that shit for this one, right? Did you that feel like a bigger entrance for you?
Yeah, I always love the bagpipes. It's actually, I don't understand how they made the bagpipes for a heel character because they sound so great. It's like a wedding procession type thing. And I remember there was one drummer kid who was smiling and looking at the camera. And I was like, fuck that kid. Like, this is your job. All you have to do is drum on the fucking things and pretend to be Roddy Piper's, you know, minion, whatever.
Right.
And he's like, oh, ooh, I'm at WrestleMania playing the drums, looking at the camera.
Yeah.
Like, do your job, all right? Be a professional. I hope that kid watches that tape and all of his friends make fun of him for the rest of his life because of that. Like, the scene in Jaws when he's the kid saw the guy get killed by the shark and he goes into shock. And the orderly in the hospital is wheeling the kid through the emergency room and he's staring at the camera the entire time. It's like my favorite movie in this one scene, this one stupid idiot extra staring at the camera. Like, how could Spielberg not recast that scene? It wouldn't have taken that long. It almost ruins the whole movie for me. It's terrible. But yeah, that drummer kid. But I love the bagpipes.
Yeah. It really creates a great atmosphere, right? For like, you know, this guy's a big deal coming out. This is his big moment.
It's like, other than the fact that he's Canadian,
right?
It's actually kind of a genius opening like gimmick,
right?
Plus, he rips his kilt off.
He's fired up. So he felt like the biggest asshole in wrestling to you on that night.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
All right, would you watch this match again?
Yeah.
Commentary is great.
Very good commentary. I thought Jesse the Body was on fire.
Crowd.
The crowd was, again, like, WrestleMania 1 didn't really have a great crowd, but I think they kind of built up to that last match.
Okay. Any other thoughts on this match?
Pandemonium. Pandemonium. Gorilla must have said that word about 20 times. Everything was pandemonium. Pandemonium here, pandemonium there. Somebody gets body slammed, it's pandemonium.
Was a lot of pandemonium.
And also Jesse saying savoir faire. Mr. T had a lot of savoir faire.
What the fuck does that mean?
I think he was trying to say savoir faire, but he didn't really know the phrase.
Yeah, that's Jesse. All right, grade.
You know what? Oh, that's tough. That is tough. You're really making me regret my Twin Towers grade.
You don't have to.
But I feel like this is a good 3.5.
Okay.
3.5 stars.
Better than Savage DiBiase?
Yes.
Okay. So this is your third favorite match so far?
Yes.
Okay. Great. All right. So.
What does T stand for?
Mr. T.
I'm saying Mr.
Oh.
T.
I don't know. Did they ever say?
Mr. T.
I don't know what it stands. Honestly, I don't know. Let's see. Mr. T. Oh, that's his last name. Tarod. So it must be it.
Oh, he's French.
Lance Tarod.
Interesting.
His African Mandinka warrior hairstyle.
He pities La Fool.
All right, so here's the thing. We have 3 more matches that you watched for this show. 2 of them are NWA matches. I really want to take our time to go through these NWA matches because I want your thoughts on the difference in the promotion, the difference in the crowd, the style of the match. We've already gone kind of long here tonight. So we have one more WWF match that we're going to jump ahead just a little bit to, and we're going to start episode 3 next time with these 2 NWA matches, and then we'll move on. So we're actually going to leak into 1986 by just a little bit here to get one more match, and this is Hulk Hogan versus Randy Savage, Madison Square Garden, January 27th, 1986. It's a match Scott and I recently talked about on the Place to Be podcast. It is for the world title. Randy Savage had just come in about 6 months before, so this is like a big jump for him. This is the second of 3 matches they would have at MSG. They fought in December, January, and February.
In a row?
Yeah, so 3 months in a row.
And they're all title fights?
All title fights.
That's too much. You should only get to exchange the belt like once a year.
Well, they're not exchanging it.
Well, yeah. You should only be able, you know what I mean. Shut up.
So, I mean, Hogan... So the whole concept with like Madison Square Garden and all these different arenas is that they would have a match and generally would not have a clean or conclusive finish that would warrant a rematch because the guy didn't win clean. And that would usually maybe have a wonky thing too, and then they'd have a big blow-off match with a gimmick for the title on the line, the last chance for the third show. So they usually tried to do 2 to 3 shows depending on like how they drew. And then they would try and milk it and get like 3 months out of it at an arena.
And yet, even though there was a series of threes, you still remember them all. Like, there's not, like, one of the culminating title match isn't, the, like, we're learning about, like, some middle match.
Because this is the best. Scott and I just watched all three of them, and this was, like, the best of all three. So I wanted you to see the best one that I thought.
Okay.
Okay. So Savage with Elizabeth, heel now. This is how he came up. This is kind of during
his... How do you come back from this kind of heel-ness? He's just, like, abusing his lady.
We'll see it. We'll see. I'm going to show you. We'll show how it happens. But he, yeah, so he's pretty much verbally and threatening physical abuse to his girl.
He's grabbing her face.
Yeah.
He's, like, grabbing her face and, like, moving her face around.
Yeah, he's an asshole, man.
It's terrible.
But he's a star,
man. You can't get over that unless you go to jail or rehab.
He's a star.
You tell me Savage goes to rehab?
He doesn't go to rehab.
Oh, well.
They tried to get him to go to rehab.
It's not going
to
work then.
He said no.
Ooh.
All right, so... Thoughts on the match. Give me your comments.
They introduce him as Randy Macho Man Savage.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, does he become Macho Man Randy Savage?
I think they just always...
It doesn't matter?
Yeah, alternated.
Also, Macho Man. Has he always been Macho Man?
Yeah.
That was his, like, Carolina name or whatever, wherever the hell?
Memphis.
Memphis.
Yeah.
Same place.
Right.
Because that's kind of gay, too. You got the whole Village People thing.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he's so mean towards Elizabeth.
He's repressing the feelings?
Yeah, him and Hogan, they hug. There's like a lot of stuff going on. We could do a whole show about that. Anyway. Yeah, so I'm confused about the timeline. You just talked about it again. This is 86, so this is after WrestleMania 1.
Yeah.
And this is... What was the fight that we watched between them already?
That was 89.
Oh.
Okay. This is like way before that.
Way before.
They have
before the Mega Powers.
This is like well before them. This is like a good year and a half before the Mega Powers.
So they didn't even join together until they already fought a bunch of times.
Right. They kind of get separated after this for a while. Then they get brought back into the universe together.
All right, so January 86,
mm-hmm.
Hogan is the champion. Has he been the champion since the Iron Sheik fight?
Yep.
That's a long time.
Yep.
And now Savage is fighting him.
Yes.
All right. I feel like if you are going to go into a big fight like this, you don't want to jump in the bottom of the ring while a guy still has his robe on. Because Macho Man kicks his ass with his robe on
mm-hmm.
for a good 2 minutes.
It looks awesome, though, doesn't it?
It looks really awesome, but it's so embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like, that's so not Hulk Hogan-ish.
Right. But wasn't a hot, like, all of a sudden you're sucked in, right? Hogan might be in trouble. Savage is kicking the shit out of him before the match even starts.
Yeah. Like, they should, you know, make sure he's on that side of the ring and then enter.
So the crowd is going, like, ballistic here, right?
Isn't this the opposite of what normally happens? Doesn't the good guy or the face always start fast?
That's what makes it such a good match, right? Goes against the trend. It's different. Stands out. Because Savage immediately just starts beating the piss out of Hogan.
He's got the belts. He's hitting him with his own belt. How does he even have the belt? The belt's supposed to be in a secure location.
I think it was on Hogan's waist. It falls off when he's getting in the ring. So the crowd is super into it.
How heavy is a belt? Would it actually hurt to get hit with one? Is it real gold?
It's gold, yeah. It's gold on leather.
Is it more or less damaging than a folding chair?
I would say depends on what part of the belt you get hit. I think if you get whipped with it, it would hurt. Because the gold smacking the leather on the back. If you just get hit with the plate, I guess, I don't know, probably not as much as the chair.
Yeah. All right, so Savage is beating the crap out of him with the cape on, the robe, whatever. And then what happens?
So then Well, eventually Hogan starts making his red hot comeback, which is what I liked because he was like super aggressive in this match. There's a lot of hate. Like, did you feel like, was it palpable to you, like kind of the hate and anger with these guys? Like, I feel like Hogan was like really full of like piss and vinegar in this one.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, as far as the match goes, we had that intro flurry from Savage, and then there's a turnaround.
Well, Savage is like yelling at Liz or whatever, and Hogan punches him, and Jesse's all flipping out. Like, yeah, that was like, a
cheap
shot.
Sucker punch.
Yeah, sucker punch.
That's a great line. But then, all of a sudden, Savage is bleeding profusely.
Yeah, I think it's when he runs him to the post.
But did he really? So he picks him up. He like spears him toward the post. Does he really run into the post? Like, where's all the blood coming from?
Well, Savage probably bleeded. We haven't really gotten into bleeding yet. We'll save that for next time. The blood is a whole thing.
So he intentionally cut himself to bleed.
Yes.
Okay. So Hogan is dragging him through the ring.
Yeah.
Tossing him all over the place. There's blood everywhere. At what point do you think that someone is bleeding too much? And by you, I mean a person that is involved with the production of this fight. Like Hogan or the referee or Savage himself.
So there's been some real nasty blood.
You can't lose that much blood.
There's been times where guys have just poured buckets of blood. This actually wasn't too bad compared to like other matches where guys have just tapped the vein and it's just been like disgusting amounts of blood.
That's gross.
I mean, like, there's a guy that, like, Eddie Guerrero, like, went into shock after from losing too much blood in a match.
Yeah, I mean, you just can't bleed out that much. Yeah. And he cut himself in his head. He couldn't see.
No, they know. I mean, they kind of know the spot. Like, it's a lot of times, like, they'd have the blade taped under their, like, finger tape or whatever, and they'd just unwrap the tape, do it, and then discard the blade.
All right, so the blood is in his eyes.
Yeah.
How does he fight?
That's why they're superstars.
Do they have like a special move where Hogan puts him in a headlock and he can like wipe the blood away from his eyeballs secretly?
I mean, that, or he's just trying to do it on the fly. But is it just, I mean, they're just really good at what they do. It's instinct, I guess. I don't know. So yeah, the sucker punch line by Jesse is great. So Savage is like pouring.
What a sucker punch.
Liz is like trying to get him out. What do you think of Hogan going to Liz, like blowing the kiss and kind of playing it up?
That was great because we talked about, when I first saw Savage, how he does this weird body motion thing, and he's right. Like all the sexy macho man, and Hogan was totally making fun of him.
Right, he was mocking it.
He like blows a kiss to his lady.
So Savage makes his comeback, and then Hogan, like we saw many years later, blows out of the big elbow here again. And this one I thought was a little bit more egregious because it's earlier in Savage's run, and I know he's like all angry and he's Hulk Hogan, but it still felt a little bit like they're kind of killing his move.
Yeah, if he's new to the league and that's his big thing, nobody's ever gotten up for the elbow, right. And now this guy's gotten out of it twice, that's kind of lame. Like, he didn't even need to do the elbow, or maybe he does the elbow and Hogan moves.
Right, instead of Hogan kicking out at one, not even like a close pin. So Jesse's like demanding the match be stopped due to blood. Savage is just trying to escape at this point. Hogan keeps pulling him back in the ring. And did you like kind of the twist at the end? So Savage is trying to leave. Keeps trying to leave. Hogan eventually gets pulled outside. Savage is able to, you know, run him into the post, slide in, and win the match by countout. And that pretty much gets him another rematch. That's how the third match comes about, because he won. He had won the first match in December by countout, and then he wins this one by countout, too.
Yeah, but that's bullshit. How is it a countout? They're both out of the ring.
Right. You have 10 seconds to get back in.
And Elizabeth is, like, standing there, stops him from ramming him again. So how, as soon as Savage got back in the ring, it was over. It was a count out.
Yeah, because the count is already going on. So you got to beat the count into the ring. You have 10 seconds once they get out there. So the ref is counting, and Savage slid it in at 9, and Hogan remains on the floor. Gets counted out.
I don't think so. I got to watch that again. I don't think it was close to 10 seconds.
You think it was longer than 10? Or shorter?
I think it was shorter. And even if it is, there should be no count if they're both outside.
Yeah, that's how it works, bud.
Once one guy gets inside, then you can count the other guy. If they're both outside, it should cancel it out.
No, because then you can have a double count out.
That's a stupid rule.
If they're both out there for 10 seconds, they both get counted out.
But if they're both out there for more than 10 seconds, then they can't fight outside the ring for more than 10 seconds. Isn't that what people want to see? Don't they want to see people fighting outside the ring because there's concrete and cages and stuff?
Yeah, well, this time's like sometimes it's the rule wrestling rule book is very lenient. So a referee may come out and try and break them up, and he's not counting. One guy may roll in and roll back out, and that restarts the count if he goes back out. So there's different stuff like that.
Oh, another great line. Macho Man is ripe for the picking.
Yes. He was ripe.
I don't like that rule. I think the count-out rule should be changed.
Okay.
It's a terrible rule.
It should appeal.
I think people, if they want to fight outside, they should be able to fight outside for a little bit. So maybe change it to 30 seconds.
So count-outs and like disqualifications are really just there to give them outs on matches where they don't want a guy to get
picked. Yeah, so the referee is lenient, except when it's like a major Hulk Hogan versus Randy Savage match that everyone's watching.
Or he's lenient.
Like, oh, well, they're going to get another rematch.
Or he's lenient until he's not supposed to be lenient. I mean, that's, again, it's part of like the acceptance of just the wrestling rule in the wrestling universe that it's referee discretion. If he feels like he's going to get out there and get in between the guys or whatever, that's one thing. And then, you know, other times he may be more stickler for the rules and stand there and count.
You know what there was a lot of in this match? Bear hugging.
Yeah.
Is that popular?
In the 80s it was, yeah.
Because they were just like hugging.
But they weren't like kind of long, slow hugs. I feel like they were like, there's a big difference too. Like when a guy, those are called rest holds, like a bear hug, a chin lock, a headlock. They call rest holds because they give the guys a chance to rest. But there's a difference between being lazy in a rest hold where I'm just holding your head and we're just standing there. Or I'm holding your head and you're grinding, you're trying to work out of it. I'm making faces, I'm wrenching the, you know, like to me, that's like the difference of like a good match versus a shit match, a good worker versus like a bad worker, is how they work those holds. Are they really working the holds? Are they selling the holds for the crowd to make the crowd believe that I'm really wrenching your head? Or are they just standing there and and holding the chin lock and just sitting there for a minute to catch their breath? Or are they grinding it? The guy's kicking his legs, turning, you're making it believable. You're selling the hold. Like that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
So if it's a bear hug where the guy's just laying there, yeah. If it's a bear hug where, you know, Hogan's wrenching his arm, Savage is flying all over the place, trying to smack him, trying to punch his way out, and really, like, showing that he's hurting. There's a difference in the two.
Well, yeah, it was a stand-up bear hug. A stand-up, legs-wrapped-around bear hug. It was very believable.
Yeah, he's just hoisting him up. So, the finish, did you like the finish, the count-out, or no? Well, besides the rule of the count-out, what did you think of the...
No, I thought...
You wanted a winner.
It ended up, well... I don't need a winner.
Right.
I just thought it ended too quickly.
Right.
It's like they were doing things. There was things happening outside the ring. And then it's just over. So there was no dramatic moment. Like there was... Right. All right, fine. Say Savage jumps into the ring.
Right.
And the referee looks outside and he looks back. And maybe somebody else comes in. And maybe Hogan has a moment with Elizabeth. And then like, oh, we got counted out. But it's like, no. It's just like, nope, it's over.
So the reason I kind of like it is that it's a little unconventional. And they hate, they're so angry at each other that they go at this pace that's like crazy that they can't sustain. So it's bound to burn out fast because they're not slowly easing into the match. They come in and it's like at 60 miles an hour right away. There's no ramp up. A lot of matches you watch, they feel each other out. They start off on the mat. Like this was like bang right into almost like the midpoint of the match. And it was this pace that they're just like manically going at because they hate each other so much.
Yeah, there's no moment where one of the fighters keeps trying to escape and then is pulled back in and keeps trying to escape. Like another match I watched that we talked about earlier.
Kind of was, right? Didn't Savage keep trying to escape at the end?
Yeah, but he was bleeding from his head.
Yeah, he was hurting. All right, would you watch this one again?
Yes. And actually, I really want to watch this one again because during the break, you told me how much you loved this match.
Yeah.
And I had sort of like a lukewarm reaction to it, so... Maybe I missed something, or maybe you and I just have totally different opinions about what makes good wrestling.
Which is great, because that's like everyone. All right, so what would you grade this match?
3 stars.
Okay. Better than Hogan Piper?
No.
Better than Andre Studd?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So here is the official list.
I can't believe we've got to wait a whole new episode to talk about this NWA stuff.
We're going
to
make them wait, kid.
Oh,
we're
my God.
Wait. All right, so here's the rankings you have as of now, and then you tell me right now if you want to change anything or if we're going to leave this as your big board. From the bottom to the top, the worst match you've watched is Andre the Giant versus Kamala. Then Wendy Richter and Leilani Kai. Hulk Hogan versus the Iron Sheik. Andre the Giant versus Big John Studd. Hulk Hogan versus Randy Savage from MSG. Hogan versus Piper, war to settle the score. Hogan versus Savage from
five.
Savage DiBiase from
time, man.
Savage DiBiase from
four.
There you go. Hogan at T versus Piper and Orndorff from.
Well, do you say one? Or you just
yeah,
say
you can say one. Yeah, WrestleMania one.
Okay, I thought the original had some.
I mean, I think it was just WrestleMania. Like they didn't call it one at the time.
Yeah.
Mega Powers Twin Towers, and then your favorite match, Mega Powers Mega Bucks. Is anything on here that you would shuffle around?
Ah, oh, man. I feel like the bottom is pretty. I mean, Andre Studd, Hogan Sheik. Maybe I should watch the Hogan Sheik match again. I feel like that was a while ago. And maybe at the top. Because the Mr. T, Orndorff tag team was pretty good.
So you'd put that above that Twin Towers match?
No, there's just, okay. I mean, the locker room scene.
All right. It's you don't have to change anything. We can stick.
You got poor Hulk Hogan acting his ass off out there, crying next to someone's bed.
He is killing it. All right. So that's episode two, bud. You have a good time?
Yeah, I had a great time.
All right. I told you I was going to ask you this question every episode. Do you want to continue on this journey?
I need to know more.
Okay.
Yes.
We're going to continue. Would you consider yourself a wrestling fan yet?
No.
Okay.
I mean, the word fan, like if I need to be able to go to pub trivia and answer questions about wrestling.
Okay.
Like, I am a wrestling...
Well, that would be like a...
I'm a wrestling student.
Yeah. But, like, wrestling fan would be if I told you, Jeff, there's a pay-per-view this weekend, or Jeff, let's watch Raw together, and you're like, you want to watch it. That'd be like a fan, like a casual fan.
Well, is there like a big golf tournament on at the same time?
No.
Then I'll probably watch it.
Okay. All right. Episode 2, Jeff Learns Wrestling. Thank you for checking it out. We will be back at some point in the next couple weeks. And the early tease is we do have two NWA matches to start with. And then we'll probably work our way into 1986. Check out everything. PlaceMediation.com every day. Shop with us. PlaceMediation.com/Amazon. Twitter, place number 2B Nation, Facebook.com/PlaceMeNation, iTunes, Pro Wrestling Only, PlaceMeNation Wrestling, PlaceMeNation Pop. You can find all those shows, rate us, leave us feedback. And if you have ideas for matches for Jeff to watch on this chronological journey, send them to us on social media. We'll check them out and put them on the list. Anything else you want to say? You good?
Ding, 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 ding.
It's pandemonium, Jeff. We're out. Talk to you in a couple weeks.